Ruth chapter 3, and we'll read this chapter together after we pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless your word to us this morning. We ask that you would apply it to our minds and feed our souls with the truth that you have enclosed here in this historical account of your work in your people to accomplish your purpose, to bring about your kingdom, to bring glory to yourself. We pray that you would use this to further our understanding, but that we would recognize, most of all, that in all of the affairs of mankind, you are the Most High God, and you determine what will happen and why it happens for your purposes to accomplish all that you will. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ruth chapter 3. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today."
This morning I'd like to talk about 4 different individuals from the Bible, especially from the book of Ruth, that are our text. The first one is Naomi, and Ruth, and Boaz, and the last one is Jesus Christ. Yeah, the name Jesus is not found in the text, but our text foreshadows Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the earth and of all the people. The book of Ruth works like a house window, and a window like outside our church. From the outside, the book of Ruth is everything we can't see, but if you're close to the window, we will see everything inside. The same thing with us. If we are far away from from the Bible and stories in the Bible, we will not understand God's will, but we come to the Word and looking at, into all the stories, we'll understand, we'll see amazing things about the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So I'll be talking about four different people today. The first one is Naomi. Let's talk about her today. Just relax and think about her. Naomi and her family moved to Moab. We know that because of a famine in her hometown, Bethlehem. Now, although Naomi lived in a foreign country in Moab, her life wasn't so bad because she was with her husband who loved her a lot, and she also with her lovely children. I'm pretty sure that it was Naomi's joy to look at her children growing together. It was a pleasure to prepare the meal every night for her family. When her children got married, Naomi was dreaming of holding her grandkids in her arms, singing lullabies for them, singing great songs for them. Flowers on the street were beautiful, and birds on the sky were lovely. She did not need anything. She had everything to make her happy. However, we know that life is always unexpected. Life is not like a fairy tale stories ending with a phrase, famous phrase, happily ever after. Life is like a street, we know that. It has bumps and ups and downs. Sometimes life makes us, you and me, you know, stop and think about it and a detour, going a different direction, a straight way. Naomi did not expect any bad things happening to her life, but it happened. Not one time, but three times. She lost three the most important man in her life, her husband and two beloved sons. Everything was gone like a wind. All of a sudden, poof, disappeared. Her heart was broken into a million pieces. We can't imagine it. Tears in her eyes never dried. Life used to be unhappy and full of joy. However, everything became meaningless and helpless. She was lonely. She was hopeless, helpless. She was very, very depressed. Think about her situation. So she could not go to sleep at night. She could not eat food because the dinner table was empty. She had two daughters-in-law, but looks like empty. Nothing made her happy at all. It seemed there was no one to share her pains at all. There was no one to listen to her stories after stories. There was no one to wipe away tears from her eyes. That is really painful. She must have had only one question in her mind. I thought about her this week. That is, why me? Why? After many nights of the deepest agony and suffering and pain, Naomi realized that nothing but God is her only hope. Nothing else. She returned to God with her precious daughter-in-law, Ruth. We talked about that over the months. When she returned to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred. Everyone in town knew about them. That was good, but everyone was talking about Naomi and Ruth. Then especially the women in town came to her and said, "Is this Naomi? Are you Naomi?" The Naomi means in Hebrew, my joy and my pleasant. Now think about it. It really bothered her, I'm sure. People calling her, my joy, my pleasant, you are here today. There was no more joy, no more pleasant, no more happiness in her life, but only bitterness and resentment. It is interesting to read what she said to people. Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitterness in Hebrew. For the Almighty God dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? When the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me, don't call me my joy, my pleasure. Ruth chapter 1, 20, 21. I don't know how do you read these particular verses from the book of Ruth, but I see that this is a very depressing passage. I could literally see and hear that Naomi was crying when she was talking to people. Some commentators suggest that Naomi was complaining, grumbling about her situation to God. Looks like she believed that God had punished her because of her sins before God. Was that right? Did God really punish her? Did God really bring disasters after disasters to her because of her sins? Naomi believed that God punished her because of her unrighteousness and disqualified lifestyle. Was that right? I don't know. There was no food to eat at home. There was no money to buy food. Have you ever been in that situation? I have. Naomi had to something. She had to something because she was not alone. A Moabite woman, Ruth, came along with her to a foreign country. Ruth did not know everyone in town. She's new to the people because she was a Moabite woman. However, Naomi knew almost everyone in town. If she wanted it, she could get some food or get some help from her friends or her family members. But interestingly, she couldn't do anything. She didn't want to meet people. It's obvious. She didn't want to talk to anybody in town. It's painful to see all the people and friends. When Ruth left home to get something to eat, I thought about that scene in my mind. Naomi was helplessly watching the side of the Ruth's back. And Naomi must have choked back her tears. I'm sorry, I can't do that. She knew that she had to go with Ruth to support and to protect. But she couldn't do it. She couldn't do anything. She couldn't even get out of bed. I see that she was spiritually, emotionally very, very depressed. Sometimes we just become like a Naomi when we hit rock bottom. We get seriously depressed. We feel helpless and hopeless. We feel there is nothing we could do. Nothing. Sometimes we believe that God punished us because of our unrighteousness or disqualification of our lives. Sometimes we complain to God, why? God, why me? Sometimes we cry and say to God, what happened to me, God? When Ruth came home, Naomi was so surprised. From our text, Ruth came home with food and with a bag of barley. Now, Naomi did not expect anything like that. She was a foreign woman going outside getting some food. It's kind of strange and amazing. Maybe Naomi thought about Ruth was lucky to meet a nice guy out there. There was a nice guy out there. But as Ruth shared her story, Naomi choked her tears again. Ruth did not just meet a nice man out there, but she met a kinsman redeemer out there. who could save, who could possibly redeem both ladies. Naomi's heart was trembling again before the Lord when she heard the name Boaz. Is it right? By hearing the name Boaz, she was reminded of God's grace in her life again. That's right. She must have felt that her heart was beating again really hard and thumping and pumping for joy. Joy is coming back and hope. Hope is coming back to her life in God. Tears of joy now this time, not pain, but tears of joy rolled down her face. And I'm pretty sure she must have said, God, you didn't forget me. You didn't hate me. I thought you hate me, but you didn't hate me. But you love me. She was able to see the sun rising off the horizon when she heard the name Boaz. Surely she believed that God had prepared a redeemer for them. Surely it was an awakening moment for her. Her spirit was sleeping, but it was an awakening moment for her that she came to know and she was able to see things clearly. She was not depressed anymore when she heard the name Boaz. I'm pretty sure she must have thought, I came with empty. I came back to my home with empty. But yet the Lord has brought me back full this time. Remember what she said? She went full, but she came empty. But this time, she was empty, but she became full when she heard the story from Ruth. Interesting thing is, Ruth learned about God from Naomi, that is sure. But Naomi witnessed God's grace through Ruth. That was very interesting. People will become God's people, maybe through your love, your ministry. Then you will see God's grace through the people you evangelized. I think that is amazing things that you will see. What an interesting relationship. Naomi recovered her faith and Naomi strengthened her faith in God through a Gentile woman, Ruth. Let's talk about Ruth a little bit more. From the beginning, the life of Ruth wasn't easy at all. She was a Moabite woman and fell in love with an Israeli man named Mahlon. And then her husband, Mahlon, died without children. Her heart was completely broken like a Naomi's. Now, Ruth had a choice from chapter 2 and 1. We know that she had a choice to return to home, her home and God's, her faith and friends. She had a chance. Maybe that was a last chance for her to restart. It was so bad meeting with an Israeli man, our enemy, but love, marriage, nothing. This is the last chance for to restart her life again in her homeland. But interestingly, she refused to go back. She said no. She didn't want to go back to her people and God's and her faith. Rather, she chose to go with Naomi. She chose to go with Naomi because she found the Lord, the God of Israel. I see her action was very radical. It's not normal action. It's not a normal decision. It was a very radical decision. Now, when there was nothing to eat, she decided to go out to the field alone. That was chapter 2, to get something to eat. Now, interestingly, Ruth did not complain to God. She was not grumbling about her situation. Maybe she thought, I just became your people. I try to believe in you. I thought you'd be blessing my life. But what I see is no food, nothing here, no money. Is that right? She didn't say anything like that. She never asked her mother-in-law to get something to eat. Mom, you know people out there, would you please get something to eat tonight? I'm starving. She didn't say anything like that. She didn't ask Naomi to go out together to glean the leftover grains on the field. When she decided to go out, I'm sure she made another radical decision. It was very interesting for me to see. She was a very, very interesting woman in the Bible. Ruth did not know where to go. She did not know what to do. She did not know what would happen to her next. One thing she knew was it was extremely dangerous to go out there alone. Yes, she took the risk. Because she was ready to sacrifice. No selfishness was found in her life. Look at the text. No selfishness. She had nothing. But she had faith in God. With God's great plan, Ruth came to the land of Boaz, we know that, who was a kinsman redeemer for both Ruth and Naomi. She didn't know that. She didn't know that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. What she wanted was at the time just get some food to take care of her mother-in-law at home. She didn't even want to take a long break. From our text, we know that she just worked really hard with a short break. That's chapter 2. When her long day was over, it was a long day working outside with strangers, she came home with a bag of barley. Now, she brought some leftover food for her mother-in-law at home. As the Bible describes her, she was a woman of noble character. With Boaz's kindness, Ruth was allowed to work at the field belonging to Boaz until the end of the barley and wheat harvest season over, and which was about 2 months, April and May. Now, during these 2 months, an amazing thing happened to her. 2 months, think about it. Everyone in town heard about the Gentile woman walking around, working with other people, and her faithfulness to God and her hard work for her family. The whole town knew about her and her faith in God. From our text, Boaz was talking about her. A Gentile woman became a part of God's plan. Surely it's an amazing story by reading in chapter 1 and 2. Surely it's a happy ending story. I thought about the book of Ruth should end here. Happy, happy, happy. Everybody knows about her. She's a great woman. But interestingly, Naomi comes back. She comes back to the main stage in chapter 3. When the harvest season was over, Naomi came to Ruth with a strange idea. It was really strange. Naomi instructed Ruth to take a shower and put some perfumes, make smell good, and to get dressed, nice dress. Naomi's further instruction was literally shocking to me. Naomi commanded Ruth, hey, to go out. You go out to the threshing floor, and this is what you have to do. You propose to an old man named Boaz in the midnight. Can you imagine that? A young lady goes to an old man. Would you marry me? It's not a daytime, midnight. We need to think about this awkward situation. This is very awkward. I thought about what's wrong with Naomi. It seemed that something was totally wrong. Something we talked about today, project people, and those who come to Sunday school, maybe you know about that. So, Naomi was working like that to bother Ruth and to challenge her, bring her burdens after that. Proposing an old man on a field in the midnight. What a strange situation. I believe that Naomi should not ask such a question, such a thing to Ruth. Think about it. Ruth had been working so hard to take care of Naomi. Since day one, they moved. She worked really hard. Literally, Ruth gave up everything, her family, relationship, friends, and God's and faith in her homeland. She gave up everything. She didn't have anything. She was the one who took all the risks, everything. I would do that. Then now what? Proposing to an old man? Come on. Now let's say that Ruth, okay, I will do that. Ruth will do it for Naomi, not just for Ruth. But what if the plan goes wrong? Do you have a second B plan? What if Boaz says no? What if Boaz says, hey, I thought you were a good woman, but I'm very disappointed. You came to midnight? This is not right. And what if people around them find out that Ruth was with Boaz, not daytime, at midnight, outside? We know that everyone in town thought that Ruth was a good and the woman of noble character. Then what about her reputation? Enticing an old man on the field in midnight, it's nonsense. So since she had a good reputation in town, she could have found a nice young guy and met if she would have wanted. Why an old man? If I were in that situation, I would say, okay, that's enough. I'm done. Leave me alone. Naomi's idea was shocking to me, really shocking to me. However, I was surprised again, one more time, by the reaction of Ruth. You know what she said, Ruth 3 and chapter 3 and 4? She said, all that you say, I will do. Can you believe this? Ruth always made radical decisions in chapter 1, refused to go back to her home country and going out to the field alone to get some food. She was the one always made some radical decisions. But unbelievably, she here, one more time, she made another radical decision. I didn't get it. But now this time was a little bit different. The first two decisions Ruth made because she believed in God. But this time, Ruth did not start it. It was Naomi's idea. It was Naomi's radical plan. And Ruth just simply, without thinking maybe, obeyed her mom's decision, her mom's recommendation. Ruth listened carefully and carried her mom's instructions. Trust and obey. That I thought about that. What's wrong with Naomi? Are we missing here something? If we read chapter 3, only chapter 3, I'm pretty sure it is a very annoying chapter. I don't want to preach. Well, I was reading chapter 3 and over and again, and I thought, oh, I can't preach this text. I better find another one. Let's move on. And I was sitting in my office, and I was making, and someone knocked on the door, Pastor Perry, come in. James, you need some break. I didn't want to preach this text. It was really hard. But if you read chapter 2 together, we can find something why Naomi came with a strange or weird idea. This is what Naomi said in chapter 2 and verse 20. Naomi also said to her, which is Ruth, the man. The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. So mostly chapter 2 is ending with, redeemer is out there. And chapter 3 and verse 1, Naomi says again, my daughter, should I not find rest for you that it may well be with you? Now, do you see what I see from this text, two different chapters? Naomi wasn't a crazy old lady woman mother-in-law at all. Naomi wasn't looking for money or food, something else. She knew that more than anything else, chapter 2 and 3, more than anything else, Ruth needed a redeemer. By looking at the life of Ruth, Naomi realized that God had prepared a man named Boaz as their kinsman redeemer. So Naomi believed that it wasn't an accident at all, but God's divine plan with His grace and mercy. That's why she came with one of the most weird marriage proposal plans in the world. I believe that. How about Boaz? Now, Boaz was described as a worthy man in chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, we have to understand that it was a time of the judges, Ruth. It's time of the judges. Based on the Judge 20, chapter 21, verse 25, a little bit go back to, but it says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the time of the judges. Everyone did what they wanted to do at the time. Okay, let's go this way. That's why Naomi and Elimelech, they left to Moab. But our text says that Boaz was much different. He was a different guy. He was a worthy man before God. I'll give you an example. When he came to the field to see his workers out there, and he greeted them with God's blessing. It's just awesome to read it. He said, the Lord be with you. He was a man of faith. When Boaz met Ruth on the field, he showed his kindness to Ruth. He allowed Ruth to work at his field with full benefit. Not just, okay, you can work here, do what you can do, I don't care. He didn't say that. He just asked her, oh, come and eat and come and take a break. If you're thirsty, go and get some water. Just work with my people. I will not charge you. Ruth was wondering about his kindness. Okay, maybe he knows about me. I don't have a husband. So she asked. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, this is what Boaz said. Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me. Now he knows about the situation. And then how you left your father and mother and your native land and to come to a people that you did not know before. This is fascinating. He knew about her. Now, verse 12 is really, really fascinating, powerful. He said, the Lord repay you. Don't worry, God will take care of you for what you have done. So Boaz was a God-centered person. We know that. And he kept on reading, and a full reward be given by the Lord. He will pay you and He will take care of you. And he said, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. He was describing a situation that Ruth was under God's wing and His protection, His grace. Surely Boaz was a man of faith. When the harvest season was over, Boaz fell asleep near the pile of grain. That wasn't their tradition, protecting their grains up there. While he was sleeping, he woke up startled. What's going on? It's so cold. Then he was surprised that a woman was next to him. Then he asked her name, who are you? The lady replied, very strange, I am Ruth, your servant. Look at what she said. Spread your wings over your servant. Spread your wings. Because you are my redeemer. You are. Boaz was quite surprised when he found Ruth next to him in the midnight. He knew that Ruth was a young Moabite widow. He knew that she needed a man to take care of her life, just a man. That's why he didn't expect her to come to him. who was an old man. And he was also surprised by what Ruth said to him. Spread your wings over me, because you're my Redeemer. He must have remembered what he said to Ruth when he met her first time. God over Israel, under whose wings God will spread his wings over you. Don't worry. You have come to take refuge under his wings. He remembered what he said. The Boaz realized that Ruth did not just man. She didn't need a man, but she needed a Redeemer who could spread the wings to reinstate all the lost inheritance. Spread the wings to reinstate all the lost inheritance. Boaz knew that. But however, we have to understand that becoming a redeemer at the time for the helpless women wasn't a good idea at all. And actually, there was a man, a nearer kinsman redeemer than Boaz. We read chapter 3 today. Then Boaz went to him. Okay, would you like to do something for Naomi and Ruth? And the man said, chapter 4 and verse 6, this is very interesting answer. Hey, I cannot redeem it. Okay, for myself. Okay, lest I impair my own inheritance. Woohoo. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. It's hard. Under the law, a kinsman redeemer has the responsibility to act on behalf of his relative who is in trouble, danger, in need. A kinsman redeemer requires a complete sacrifice for his relative. Can you? Can you do that? When no one wanted to a kinsman redeemer for these poor ladies, nothing there. Boaz took the responsibility. He took the risk. He made a real sacrifice for Ruth. He became the kinsman redeemer, and he reinstated everything for Ruth and Naomi. From the stories of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, we find a common thread in their lives. Although they were all different, they were all connected with God's grace, the law of kinsman redeemer going through in their lives. Ruth was a Gentile woman. Naomi was the lady who lost everything, no hope, no future, nothing there. Boaz was an old man in town. But they are all connected, all became part of God's redemptive history. Under God's wing. Isn't that great? Surely the book of Ruth is a love story, but it's not just a love story, but it's all about Jesus Christ, the Redeemer who sacrificed his precious life for us, for you and me, on a cross. I'd like to invite you to grab your Bibles and turn to the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 18. How about I'd like to invite Alan again? I know he's a good reader. Would you like to read all chapter 2, verse 14 through 18? Can you read it for us? Hebrews 2.
Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
One of the most powerful texts that I found. Like Ruth, we are Gentiles who became the children of God through the death and the resurrection of our Redeemer Jesus Christ. That's obvious. We are all different. You're different. I'm different. I came from South Korea. I'm short. But amazing thing happened to us. The thread of God's grace brings us together under His wings. God wraps you and me in His love and grace. He said, this is your place. New Hope Church, this is your place, our place. Experience God's presence, His love, His glory. We take refuge under His wings of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. The life of Ruth is one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible, I believe. Yet the most wonderful story is this. The Bible says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Out of His love, Jesus became the kinsman redeemer. Out of His grace, Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of the kinsman redeemer. He sacrificed His life, Himself, for you and me. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is God, but He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He also humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross to pay the price for you and me. What a great story that we heard from the book of Ruth. Ruth did not need a man to save her life. She needed a redeemer who could completely sacrifice his life for Ruth. And Boaz took the responsibility. He sacrificed himself. He reinstated everything. He endured all suffering. That should have been the poor ladies, Ruth and Naomi. That should be their suffering. That should be their struggling, their problem. But He endured all the suffering. Boaz spread His wings to embrace all the troubles and pains and agonies of Ruth and Naomi. Like Ruth, we don't need anyone. I don't need anyone. More than anything else, we need the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who completely sacrificed His precious life for us. He endured all the sufferings that should have been ours. Because of our sins, He was wounded, beaten, and nailed to the cross. Because of His suffering and death, we are completely healed. Surely Jesus Christ spread His wings over us. Life is unexpected. Good things are happening at time, anytime. Bad things are happening at any time. But you have to remember that God's time is always clicking on time. When Ruth and Naomi were struggling, God's time was clicking on time every moment of their lives. Have you ever hit rock bottom like Ruth and Naomi? Sometimes you feel that there is no one to take care of you. There is no one to share your burden. There is no hope, no future, and no reason to live. Now we have to understand, sometimes people feel that no reason to live. Really sorry. But they feel that no reason, there's no hope. There's no one to share your pains and stories, and there's no one to wipe away tears from your eyes. You are in that situation today. But we all have to remember from Hebrews chapter 2 what says. It says, Jesus himself has suffered when he tempted. He was able to help those who are being tempted. He is ready to save you. He is ready to help you. And being suffered. Jesus knows your situation. He understands our pain and suffering. He is spreading today his wings to cover us, to show his love. Do not go anywhere. As Boaz said, take refuge under his wings, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your message from the book of Ruth. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, to sing clearly like Naomi. If our hearts are so heavy and like a rock, would you please speak to us again to soften our hearts so that we will understand you. We will see your grace. We will meet our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us don't go anywhere. There is no way. There is no hope out there. There is no future and vision out there. But here, right here, under your wings, we take refuge. You are our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name.